Our scripture reading this morning comes from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 12. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him unto that day.
Thank you very much, Byron, and good morning, everyone. It is so good to see a good crowd here. Many that we haven't seen for a while are with us today, and we appreciate that very much. Forgive me if I look back at my screen. I had a challenge this morning with Mr. Projector, actually with Mr. Computer. The little doodad that sticks in the side there that makes the connection decided to come loose, so I'm a little paranoid. You'll forgive me for that. I know you will. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord. Jim started us off with that song this morning. You heard Byron read just a moment ago those very words, and that's where we're going to be looking today. Unless you've been hibernating for the last 20 years or so, you know that in the past and to perhaps a lesser extent even today, there is somewhat of a brouhaha about are we going to say Merry Christmas or are we going to say Happy Holidays? And that has been a bone of contention for a while. There have been businesses that have absolutely forbidden their employees to say Merry Christmas because, after all, that might offend somebody that doesn't like Jesus or that doesn't believe in Jesus. And unfortunately, some believers have responded in a rather non-helpful way by saying, well, if they don't say Merry Christmas to me, I'm going to boycott that business. And I'm just not going to go. I wonder how many people have been led to Christ because of an attitude like that. I mean, is that the way we handle something like this? Come on. I'm sure that we can do much, much better than that. And we're going to talk some more about that as we go along. But also, I don't pay any attention anymore about what goes on in public schools, government schools. Do we still have Christmas break or is it winter holiday or what is it? I don't know and I really don't care which way they choose to do that. I'm sure there are some who would say, well, it's a government-run institution, therefore we should say nothing whatever about anything even remotely religious. And so we got to stay away from that. Or at the county courthouse or the state house or whatever house it is, city hall, you name it. Can we talk about Christmas? Or do we do winter holiday or whatever the case might be? And again, people get all bent out of shape about that and worried about it. And, well, we're going to fight this and we're going to go one way or the other. And I'm thinking, you know, we really don't need to get all worked up over this at all. In every case, it's don't offend me. If you say Merry Christmas, I'm going to be offended. Or if you don't say Merry Christmas, I'm going to be offended. Can we please get our feelings off of our coat sleeve and just relax and not get quite so keyed up? You've heard the expression, making a mountain out of a molehill. I'm not sure there's even a molehill here. And if there is, we surely don't need to be making a mountain out of it. Now, the long and short of it is that the secular progressives in this country have decided we're going to oppose everything that is even remotely connected with Jesus. And so I'm going to take you back nearly 20 years to Chula Vista, California. And there was a holiday party, if you will. it's a festival which they had in December. And there was a group there, a group of young ladies, and they were wearing shirts with the name Jesus Christ on them. And they called themselves, it was a hip-hop group, and they called themselves the Jesus Christ Dancers. Well, I'm going to have a problem with that because a hip-hop dance is not very complimentary to Jesus. That is not what the organizers of this festival were concerned about. They told these young ladies that they would have to turn their shirts inside out and wear them that way because the name Jesus Christ was on them. That was the concern. They didn't care about hip-hop or no hip-hop. They didn't care about anything else except that the name Jesus Christ was on those shirts. And therefore, you cannot allow that. Now, you might think, well, this was perhaps a parade or a festival where they just didn't want anything religious associated with it. And so they just said, don't do this religion thing. No, that was not quite the case. Because what they had there was also prayers to Hawaiian volcano gods. You know about volcano gods, right? You sacrifice a virgin and throw her in there to pacify the gods. So prayers to a Hawaiian volcano god was all right, but the name Jesus Christ was not to be seen anywhere. And in that same celebration was a menorah. You know what the menorah is, the lampstand. It's a Jewish symbol. So a Jewish symbol and prayers to a volcano god were okay, but the name Jesus Christ was taboo. So once again, don't offend me. Now, somebody says, well, December 25th is not Jesus' birthday. I know that. And by the way, if you want proof of that, there is biblical proof that Jesus would have been likely born sometime in March or perhaps in September, and I can show you that from Scripture, and I'll do that if you're interested in learning it. But that's not the problem with our secular progressive friends. They don't care. They don't know and they don't care what day Jesus was born. Their problem is we don't want you talking about it in any kind of a public forum. That's their issue. We care about these prohibitions because basically the secular progressives are saying to us the same thing that the Sanhedrin said to the apostles. We don't want to hear about this Jesus thing anymore. And so you hush up. Well, they wouldn't do that, and neither should we. Secular progressive opposition is unrelated to biblical matters. Was Jesus born on December 25th? No, he wasn't. People have Jesus on their minds today and tomorrow. I'm going to take full advantage of that and talk about the truth about Jesus. Yes, he was born, even though it wasn't on December 25th, he was born. And we know who he was and we know what he was, that he was God incarnate, and we know what he did. And I'm going to take full advantage of the opportunity while people are at least thinking in some positive way about Jesus. Tell them the truth. Tell them the truth about who he was and what he did. But their opposition, the secular progressive opposition, has nothing to do with the truth about Jesus. They don't want anything said about Jesus, and that is the point. So how then are we to deal with secular culture? How are we to deal with this in a positive way? Do we need to go ballistic and get in people's face and say, you're either going to say Merry Christmas to me or I'm going to boycott your business? Or when someone says Happy Holidays, do we say, I'm offended that you didn't say Merry Christmas? Oh, I hope we can do better than that. I know we can. We must do far, far better than that. But we should not be ashamed ever. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of Jesus my Lord. I'm not afraid, ashamed rather, to own my Lord, the song says, and to defend his cause. I know him whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to guard that which I've delivered to him against that day. I'm not ashamed, he says. So don't ever be ashamed to own Jesus. And I don't mean that he belongs to you, you're over him. You know what I'm saying. To own something, you know, you did something wrong, you need to own it. Acknowledge it. Acknowledge Jesus. Acknowledge who he is, and don't be afraid or ashamed to do that. Not even in public. Now again, that doesn't mean we need to be ostentatious. We don't need to be in your face. Well, I'm going to wear this shirt that has Jesus on the front of it, and I don't care whether you like it or not. We don't need to be that way. We don't need to be ostentatious and get in people's face. We need to be calm and cool and collected. Paul tells Timothy, let's pray that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. And that is exactly the kind of life that we need to be living. But we certainly should not be intimidated into silence. Just because the secular progressive world says, well, you shouldn't talk about Jesus in a public way. Say, just like the apostles did. We're going to go ahead and we're going to talk about Jesus whenever, however we please. Maybe you've heard the expression, well, you ought to keep your religion in its place. Okay, I'm for that. What is its place? Everywhere you are. You are a Christian 24/7, no matter where you are. So don't be ashamed to talk about Jesus. You don't have to be in somebody's face about it, but you can talk about Jesus and not be intimidated into being quiet. In the 22nd chapter of Matthew, the 10th chapter of Matthew, verses 32 and 33, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But he who denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. You know what? One way that you can deny Jesus is just by zipping your mouth shut. You never say anything about him. That is tantamount to denying him. Don't be ashamed. Don't be intimidated into being silent. If you want to talk about Jesus, talk about him. If somebody gets unhappy about it, there are two things that that person can do. A, they can get over it. Or B, they can be mad the rest of their lives. That's the long and short of it. And again, we don't mean to be unkind or uncivil in saying that, but you have the same freedom of speech that I have. And fortunately, in this country, we have freedom of speech. So don't be intimidated into being silent. Jesus put it in a little different words in Mark chapter 8, verse 38. Whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So once again, the title of our lesson today is that from the words of the Apostle Paul. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord or to defend his cause, maintain the honors of his word, the glory of his cross. Don't be ashamed. Don't be intimidated into silence. Paul again in Romans chapter 1 verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. God's word, the gospel of Christ is powerful. Someone says, well, I don't want to hear the gospel. That's what the Sanhedrin said. We don't want to hear this business about the resurrection of Jesus. We're not going to listen to that. We're not going to listen to you saying that we're the ones who killed him, even though we are. We don't want to admit that. And the apostles just went ahead and talked about it anyway. And they willingly suffered the consequences for doing that very thing. Are we willing to suffer the slings and arrows verbally? We live in a country where we have freedom of religion. We don't have to worry about being tied to a post and whipped for talking about Jesus. But are we willing even to suffer a little bit? Have somebody frown at us or say, I don't like you, or I don't like that. Are we willing to endure that for the sake of Christ? Jesus says, don't be ashamed of me. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Now, I realize people today say, well, you actually believe what's written in this dusty old book that's the newest part of it is about 2,000 years old, and there's other parts of it that are a whole lot older than that. Surely you believe that this is the 21st century. We've advanced beyond that. Why do you still cling to this old volume? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And I hope you're not either. If you are, you need to repent. And I say that in all seriousness. I'm not joking. It's a serious matter. In the second letter of Timothy, which you heard our brother read earlier, especially in there in that first chapter, verse 8 and verse 12. Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, that would be the gospel, or of me, his prisoner. Paul was a prisoner. Paul was facing execution. Paul was so determined to be faithful to God that he would rather die than deny him. All he had to do is deny Christ, and Caesar would say, have a nice life, go home. Paul would not do that. He was facing execution when he wrote that second letter to Timothy. He said, I'm already being offered, and the time of my departure has come. So let's learn a lesson from that. It says, for this reason also I suffer these things. It's because of Christ and his testimony that Paul was in prison in the first place and facing that death penalty. But I know him whom I have believed. Did you notice he didn't say, I know what I have believed, though that was true also. It's important that you know what you believe, but know him whom I have believed. That you know Christ. You are dedicated to him. He is your Savior. He is your Lord. And I know him whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able to commit what I've delivered to him against that day. Paul, what have you committed to Jesus? His very self, his very life, his salvation, his eternity. Jesus is able to keep that. And he will. So he was not ashamed, therefore, of Jesus. So, instead of getting all bent out of shape over somebody that didn't say Merry Christmas and said Happy Holidays instead, how about we glorify Jesus in the way that we live? I hope we can do better at glorifying Jesus than limiting it to say, well, I'll say Merry Christmas instead of Happy Holidays, and that'll glorify Jesus. I'm not sure that glorifies him at all. But let's glorify him by the way that we live. How do we treat that store clerk that said Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas? Do we get all blustery and say, why didn't you say Merry Christmas? Or do when they say Happy Holidays, could we just say, well, thank you, and I wish you a happy holiday as well? Wouldn't that be better? Wouldn't that be more Christ-like than getting in somebody's face about it? How about when they accidentally don't give you the right change? Hey, you cheated me. No. How about gently, I think you made a mistake here. Or if it doesn't amount to much, just forget the whole thing. Just walk away. Accept the fact that you got 4 cents less than you should have got. Does it really make that much difference? How do you treat the person that you see from time to time? When we look in the book of Titus, chapter 1, verse 16, Paul talked about those that Titus was dealing with there on the island of Crete. Said they profess to know God, but in works they deny him. See, it's one thing to say, I know God. It's another thing to show that by the way that you treat other people. They profess to know God, but their works say, I really don't know him. Because if they really knew God, how would they act? How would they treat other people? How would they behave? Let your behavior be consistent with your profession of belief in God. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 12. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. Paul saying there, or Peter rather saying, set a good example. Live before the world in an honorable way. The world can come at you and say, Christians are horrible, Christians are bad, Christians are the cause of all the trouble that's in the world. Let your good works demonstrate that that isn't the case. You don't have to say, oh no, that's not true. Let your good works demonstrate that they don't have a leg to stand on, so to speak. And that way, when the opportunity comes, when Paul talks, or Peter talks about the day of visitation here, he's talking about the time when perhaps they will be open to learning the gospel of Christ, when God will visit them, not in judgment, but with the message of salvation. And they will glorify God. They will be more inclined to listen and obey the gospel when they have seen the good behavior of Christians by the good works that you do. And so let's use that as our means rather than the in-your-face, confrontational, blustery, angry response of saying, well, you're either going to honor Jesus, or I'm going to boycott your business, or I'm not going to speak to you anymore, or I'm going to be in your face about something. We can do better than that. We can always do better than that. There's a story that probably isn't true, but it's funny anyway, and so I want to tell it to you. It's about a driver who was behind a car at a traffic light, a red light. And you've probably been in this situation when the light turns green and the car in front of you is kind of zoned out and they don't pay attention and they don't move ahead. And maybe they sit there until the light turns red again. And I'll be frank with you, that irritates me when people do that. But the story goes about the fellow that was behind such a vehicle. And when the light turned green and the car in front didn't move, honk, 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 and he was yelling and screaming and even cursing and getting red in the face and all blustery. And first thing you know, the police pulled him over and arrested him and took him to the station. And then they investigated, and here was how they let him go. But they said, when we saw the honk if you love Jesus sticker on your bumper and the follow me to Bible class sticker on the other side of your bumper, and then we saw the way that you acted at that light, we assumed that the car was stolen. You see the point? Yeah. Makes sense, doesn't it? The question being, how do we act? Do we act like our profession of faith? Do we act like what we claim to be? And so, yes, let's realize that our culture is indeed becoming more and more hostile to Christianity. And I don't see that changing in the near future. I only see it getting worse. And I don't mean to be overly negative by that. But here's the thing. Our culture is opposed to anything associated with Jesus. We're not going to overcome that by being in your face and mean and ugly and rude and intolerant. The world is going to do what the world does. That's why it's called the world. And so I would encourage us to just do better than that. We don't have to be like the world. Don't respond in kind, in other words. Instead, respond in a way that would be reminiscent of what Jesus would do. And you look at his life, you don't see him responding by being ostentatious or being in somebody's face about it. Jesus simply did what he came to do. And that's exactly what we need to do. And so I do wish you a Merry Christmas. And I wish you happy holidays. And if it's your birthday today, happy birthday. And if it's your anniversary, happy anniversary. Happy whatever it is. Let's just be happy. I'm happy. I've got children and grandchildren here to visit. But since we're talking about that, let's remember that there are some folks at this time of year particularly who are hurting. There are things that have happened on or near this anniversary that are painful reminders. This day and the holidays are a painful reminder of some very unfortunate things that have happened, perhaps the death of a loved one or some other thing that happened. And so let's be mindful of that and do what we can to help people who are less fortunate than ourselves. But I do wish you the very merriest of Christmases, and we're going to have a new year here, Lord willing, if the Lord lets us live that long and the world keeps turning. We're going to have a new year, and I wish you the best in the new year as well. So if you're subject this morning to the gospel invitation, this has not been a What Must I Do to Be Saved sermon, but many of you have heard the things that you need to do in confessing Christ as Savior and Lord, putting him on in baptism, having turned away from sin. If this is your spiritual need or any other that you have, come as we're standing and singing to encourage.